Blog Talk Radio.
Daytime After Dark on the Blog Talk Network, and tonight is a very special night for us here. We are going to be talking very shortly to Christophe St. John, Neil from INL. He's been in the business, you know, really since the 80s. He's really good. I love Neil. Actually, people, if you really want to know the truth, you know, it's his fault. With all my high school stories, you know, I was watching the Neil and Drew saga. And, you know, I really thought Lily was his. I was wrong. I was wrong all those years ago. And you know, you guys, how hard it is for me to say, well, I'm wrong on something and I was wrong on that. So let me bring him on. And the phone number tonight is 347-850-8721. He will be taking fan calls. I'm on air until 8:30 tonight. So let's have a fun Friday night summer good show. Here's Christopher St. John, everyone. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. That was really sweet. And Carly, I'm just happy to be a part of the universe tonight, in your universe, and feeling good. Just got back from the gym. I got my little 9-year-old spending Friday evening with me, and she's working on a computer as I'm talking to you and those that have assembled for this interesting Friday night. So
very interesting.
Glad we're all
talking. Yeah, and I just want to say, the other night I was watching the Cosby Show because it was like on at 2 o'clock in the morning, and because I hardly ever sleep, and there you were, and I mean, I thought you were on twice. We were having this debate with all my friends, and someone's like, no, he was on once. I'm like, no, he was brought on twice for two different characters. So
well, Carly, no, I was on one time. I guest starred once on The Cosby Show, and then I played a character on A Different World, which was, for all intents and purposes, a spinoff for Lisa Bonet from The Cosby Show, who obviously played Cosby's daughter. And so maybe that's the confusion, that I played two different characters in a franchise that was very similar. So, You were up late, huh? And you were watching that.
Yeah, and I saw you, I'm like, that is Neil. And then I was watching another episode, and Drew was on it. And I'm like, okay, I feel like Bill Cosby did the soap industry good with you guys, because he put a lot of you guys on the map earlier before the soaps did, because you've seen a lot of 80s stuff who's on the soaps now, that was on the Cosby Show. And then I started thinking, Mo, and you have like a 6 degrees of separation. You're probably aware, because Devon was on Family Matters, and the second Malcolm was also on Family Matters. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, he's working with all these great soaps that were 80s and 90s, and everyone that was on anything then are coming back to the soaps, and I think that's great.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure if there's a question in there, if we're talking about the 80s Bill Cosby the 90s and maybe the Dukes of Hazzard, or did we go to Archie Bunker and George Jefferson there? I'm sorry, I'm kidding with you.
Just because I think way back that Bill Cosby helped, you know, the African-American, you know, actors get heads up with putting, you know, him on, you know, a lot of, you know, he gave actors a lot of seances. You know, I mean, if people go back, way back, and see, oh, my God, this person and this person, and, I mean, you have been on a lot besides Y&R, and I don't think people really realize that.
Well, Carly, thank you for taking note of that. Yeah, sure, there's a fair share of people that watch Young, the Restless, and the Spokes, the daytime audience, that are unaware of past credits and resumes of soap stars, and myself included. But that's okay, because, you know, it's interesting. They say that as an actor, you're only as good as your last job. I'm not sure why that's said, other than, you know, I'm presently working on the number one daytime show and have been for a long time. And so, you know, producers, entertainers, you know, we're recognized for what we are doing currently. So, you know, like, for instance, let me ask you a question. When you think of Tom, when I say the name Tom Cruise to you, what do you think of? What is the first thing that pops into your head?
Really, Top Gun. For me, it's Top Gun.
Okay, sure, Top Gun. So because that is an iconic role that he played. I personally think of Mission Impossible, because that for me was the last thing that I saw him in, and it's more recent. But nevertheless, people think of me as just Young and the Restless. That's okay, because it's a damn fine show. Happy to be a part of it, and we're still trudging, man. This is almost 40 years on air. We're coming up on 10,000 episodes in the next 2 weeks, and that's a real milestone and accomplishment. So the fans that are out there that are watching can help celebrate this amazing journey that we've been on.
Exactly, and, you know, I went back and watched a lot of old clips, and you amazed me doing your little alcoholic little binge Neil went on, because you were so good. I'm like, you know, he's getting paid to drink, number one. I mean, I'm not condoning drinking, but I'm thinking in my head, he's getting paid to really, you know, drink and get lost in the moment, and which is really good. But Neo, which I think a lot of people should point out, is the only character on the soap that you have been able to get to a top of the ladder, meaning you are not in a male room looking for Newman Enterprises. You will have running it. I mean, you've done all that. So with your character, how do you feel in the last 20 years? What has been your favorite storyline with, like, you know, when you do the, you know, for the businesses, for Newman, the Bow, you know, you, Jazz Club thing. How do you feel? Do you feel good about it, or? Yeah.
Carly, the truth is, yeah, you're right, it's been a long run, 22 years, and I have worked for a number of different corporations within the context of the story. I didn't necessarily start in the mailroom, but my first day on set was a scene in the mailroom, actually in the hallways of Chabot, as I bumped into the illustrious, lovely, multi-talented Victoria Rowell, a.k.a. Drusilla Barber at the time. And I was a young Chabot executive, being pretty green and wet. Is it under the collar, the expression? I can't even say. But bottom line is, Neil has definitely grown since those days and taken the reins of, I don't know if it's taken the reins or just been given the reins at several occasions for the power seat, which would be considered the CEO chair. And I can say that I've enjoyed it all the way through. Although I believe at this point in Neil's career, and definitely on his resume, he should be most undoubtedly running his own company. But I'm not crying over, you know, where I'm at. Chancellor Industries, which is where Neil, the character, works now under the guidance of Catherine Chancellor, is an amazing place to be. Jeannie Cooper, who I adore. I love her. She is one of the special people on the planet and will continue to be that, who has just put out her book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so proud of Jeannie for finally getting that done. But, I'm not sure if your question is really all about, you know, how I feel about the business.
I mean,
Sam
just
Neill.
What I love and hate about YNL all at the same time, sometimes we don't see the characters that we love every day. You know, I mean, I would love to see Neil, you know, every day if it was up to me, but I'm not wanting things, unfortunately. And so, but I thought, because I've been so fascinated with this whole Catherine and Neil thing, and when the whole Tucker thing came out about, you know, that was her son, I'm like, dang it, I was kind of voting for you. I mean, I'm like, okay, could we just make him Catherine's long-lost son? Because they have this bond. You guys have this chemistry that is electrifying, and you would do anything for her. And it's fun to watch. And I'm like, you know, I just feel like they sort of missed the ball on that because, you know, if, you know, Neil could have been, you know, listen.
Oh, Carly, that's sweet of you to say. That would have been an interesting storyline, huh? I could have been Catherine Chancellor's son, but it turned out to be Devon. Years ago, I thought it would have been a cool storyline if Neil could have sprang forth from the loins of Victor Newman. Of course, that is impossible, but Victor being in that power seat and handing the company to Neil, knowing that mm-hmm. this is his son, and never giving any kind of clue as to that. But it's a soap, man. I mean, anything can happen, and maybe that's the case. Maybe I will be Victor's son one day. It's interesting. It's kind of weird that Neil's parents and Malcolm's parents have never been exposed on the show. I remember Drusilla's mother, Lilybell, certainly was, and the father. They were on back in the early 90s, but Neil and Malcolm have never really even talked about their parents. So maybe at some point we'll find that out, huh? What do you think, Carly?
I mean, that's the missing key right there, because, I thought Darius did a great job for playing Malcolm, because I feel bad for him, because, you know, people will, you know, waiting for, you know, Simone Moe to, you know, come back. People really wanted it. And I feel bad for the guy because, you know, he had this tight thing to go into, and he did an amazing job. But, you know, once again, he sort of betrayed you. And so I want to know, I mean, could Neil and Malcolm really, truly be really good best friend brothers after, you know, you guys have sailed so many women. You guys, you know, were both the baby daddies of two kids. I mean, for you, what would you like to, I mean, would you like to see Malcolm return? Would you like CBS to give Simone Moe, like, a little money for him to
money.
Just...
What did you do? Carly, what did you say?
Well, okay. I'm saying just a little more money for him to go back at YNL for you guys can. Neil and Malcolm did not have clothes, though. I feel
okay.
Neil and Malcolm did not have clothes, though. And you guys need that. You guys are brothers. I mean, you know,
well,
like I
you.
Said in the intro, I really fought hard on, yep, he's Lily's, you know, that's Lily's dad. They are not going to really save it. And then they did. I'm like, okay, I'm wrong on that. So, I mean, for you,
Carly,
how do
Carly, you... Carly, let me stop you with it. Let's go. First of all, let's address the Shamar Moore thing, because I'm sure fans want to hear about that. So let's talk about Shamar for a minute. Shamar left the show. Obviously, we all know what happened to him. It's no secret. He's starring on an ever-so-popular, wildly successful CBS primetime show, Criminal Minds, which, just a little footnote, I did audition for as well. I got pretty damn close, but we all know the results of that audition for me. Shamar, I don't think there's enough money in the YNR world or budget to bring him back to the landscape of Genoa City. Although, anything is possible, and I like to believe that. Shamar created a character that is, dare I use the word, iconic, okay? He really came on at a time when the audience, you know, they needed that character. And the same with Drusilla. So what do? When you're an executive producer or a head writer of a soap opera, do you replace a very hard to replace or use the word irreplaceable character with someone that looks similar, or do you go against the grain? Well, they went against the grain, and that's why Darius McCrary became the new Malcolm. Was it the right choice for casting? You need to ask the fans that. There was a lot of people that thought Darius was absolutely perfect in that role. And just as many, if not more, and I love my boy Darius, but just as many, if not more, completely pushed that away, that concept away. Because, again, we're going to say that famous sentence, no one can replace that particular character. It might have been a better suited fit to bring in, let's say, a Marcus Patrick or someone along those lines. But I love Darius. Again, you know, I don't want to make enemies in this town with my boy. And
I know.
He did a great job with a very difficult part, extremely difficult. So, you know, would Darius ever come back? Yeah, of course he would. Are they going to ask him to come back? It's not my question to answer. It's really the YNR hierarchy. So let's see that, you know, in the next 6 months or a year, if there is going to be a return with that character. It may just happen. I don't know.
I will welcome it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the fans, you know, will welcome it. What are you feeling on? Because you had some of the greatest leading ladies of all time that you've got to do, you know, to be with. I mean, I thought you and Eileen Davidson had this chemistry, and, you know, you guys got to go a little in there, and then the door was closed on you guys. And I'm like, okay, that sucks, because, you know, Neil kind of needs someone to love on him, and so I was voting for you guys. How was that for you? Were you happy with that pairing, or, you know, how do you feel now that Ashley Abbott, we know, is gone to New York, a.k.a. Days of Our Life?
Yeah, well, let's take a moment to lament Eileen Davidson's departure from the show. Her character of Ashley, that she created long before I got to the Genoa City landscape, was just an amazing character. To see her go, to watch her leave, was very upsetting. But with every door closing, another one opens. And for her personally, I'm sure the birth of another job that she had already been involved with is a good thing. Was I happy with the pairing? Of course. I mean, at the time, I was completely floundering. No love relationship or interest on the show. But, you know, what didn't feel right was I kind of knew going into it that it was going to be a short-term thing. I felt like food or fodder for Tucker and their pairing, the Ashley and Tucker
mm-hmm.
pairing. And so that didn't feel great to me, you know. And I don't know too far ahead, but I know further ahead than the fans know. And when I found that out, right as we were starting this romantic relationship, that left me with a kind of a depressing feeling. And, you know, you're right. I have had some lovely ladies that I've worked with, talented, beautiful. And, you know, it's always difficult to have a breakup on the show, just like real life. It's a little easier on the soaps, though, you know. But Victoria Rowell, Vivica Fox, way back when, not on YNR, but on this particular show, Nikki
yep.
Rowell, and I think the fans will all agree that it's almost as if they can't see me with anyone but the character of Drusilla. You know, if you want to put me in the same league as a Victor and Nikki, Drew and Neil, a super couple, they don't see me with Sophia, with Harmony, with Tyra, with Karen, Mia Peoples, that was. I mean, they really only want to see me with Drusilla. And so the fight is to pair me with someone, the character of Neil, with someone who sort of fits that mold. But it's been tough to find, and I'm not sure it's ever going to happen, you know, but I can tell you this much, you know, Debbie Morgan is one of the most talented, amazing actresses and dear friends of mine, and we're having a really good time trying to create some new memories on The Young and the Restless right now.
I was just going to ask you that because you and Debbie, you know, it's a new thing and it's fresh. And, you know, Debbie just got off of AMC for, you know, she was on there for 20 plus years coming and going. And, you know, when they brought over, you know, Who Passed Love on there, I'm like, okay, no, that will not work. I said it over and over. And then when Neil and Harmony started having more scenes, you guys have kids in common, you know, you see something in Who that a lot of people don't see. And, you know, I'm on the Neil and Harmony little boat by now. I'm like, yeah, do it. You know, hurry up. You know, I mean, will I want you to marry her tomorrow? No. I just think you guys need to take your time in this because you guys overlap a lot of people right now, and I just think that's good and bad. And, yeah.
Well, thank you for saying. Again, just to reiterate, Debbie Morgan coming on the show, very wonderful breath of fresh air. And nothing negative about the then current storyline pairing of Neil and Sophia. But I think we all realize that that particular pairing, based on the brothers' friendship or lack thereof, Neil and Malcolm going toe-to-toe, Malcolm having, you know, stolen a night with Neil's old lady wife, Drusilla, way back in the day, and then Neil, I don't want to say exacting revenge, but damn it, it makes more sense and it justifies why that happened. It could have been a step further. It could have been taken a step further is what I'm saying, you know, with the revenge part of it, because that's a deep moment in a family's history. And we see it quite often, you know, Maury, Neil, you are the father, okay? This is something that, you know, we got years in the making. And for it to come out this way, you know, last year with Moses being Neil's child, which Neil is only too happy to accept because his children on the show aren't his blood children. This we know. Devon's adopted. Lily is Malcolm's. So this is a very unique, special moment in Neil's life.
Mm-hmm.
However, it came at the expense of his relationship with his brother. And that's a whole nother layer, which I you know, I'm not sure we really even got into the depth of that, if you think about, you know, what that means. And so Moses now being the most, the primary purpose and drive for Neil. I feel bad because Neil and Sophia weren't really given a chance. And I don't think it was written to give her a chance. It was really written to have Sophia, you know, be the mother of Moses, take care of the baby, and then to have Neil kind of walk off into sunset. That's how it was built. You know, he tried, but it was a lackluster attempt. And I got enough negative criticism and fan mail about that. And it never feels good as the actor. Oh, sure. It never feels good as the actor to hear these comments about, well, Neil's a cad because he isn't giving it a good old college try. You know, his intentions aren't there. They're not really there. He's just in it for the baby. But look what happened. If you go back in time to the moment when Malcolm, you know, he leaves the hospital room and leaves Neil with his new baby and with Malcolm's wife, and then Sophia is served with divorce papers, the next minute Neil, being a chivalrous gentleman, says, hey, why don't you move in with me? I'll take care of you and the baby. Right? And then, you know, he figures, well, let me marry this lady. Let me give my son my name. You know, knowing that it's more or less a loveless marriage. That in itself, it's a noble thing, but it's also frowned down upon. You know, especially now. If you're not going to be in love with someone, why are you going to spend the time with them? You know, a woman wants to feel loved. A woman wants to be embraced and brought close. Not just for a child that's been created between two, but the two people. So, you know, it was kind of a lose-lose situation for Neil, you know, and as he's been coming out of it and been served with divorce papers from Sophia and getting involved with Devon's mom, which is, it's a bit of an odd stretch. I mean, you know, if you watch the kind of man that Neil has been, he's supposed to be calculating, observant, and very professional, and articulating everything he's going through. And this one was one of those, is it just better than the other situation? You know, does it feel better than living with Sophia? This anyway, I'm rambling, but
I love it when you ramble. Actually, no, because I mean you brought up a point. You brought up a good point. Yeah, Lily and Devon are not, you know, your biological kids. But the way Neil sees it, that doesn't matter to him. If this baby never came in, if you know they left the baby Malcolm's. You know, I think it would hurt you for a little moment, but, I mean, you have such on-screen amazing chemistry with Lily and Devon. You guys have this little family that is very cute to us. And, you know, now you have Tucker in the midst of it. And Catherine, I just find it really good. I mean, yeah, it might not be the normal American family, but, yeah, and I've been waiting for you and Tucko to, like, go to blows and punch each other out this once because Neil doesn't hit anyone. And I think Neil has a lot of anger, you know, built up over the years. And, you know, I mean, everything Neil has lost in the couple of years with the loss of Drew and the loss of Ryan. Yeah, and that's why I wanted to ask you. I was a big Ryan and Neil friendship. I love you guys.
It was a good bromance.
Yeah, it was. It was great. And so I have colleagues. One of my greatest ideas, and I know everyone out in Trudeland and everyone that is hearing me is probably thinking, oh, God, what is he going to say next? Okay, so I figured it out for you. Okay, we don't get to see you every day on YNL, but I think YNL and General Hospital, yes, I'm going there, people, to do a crossover because, you know, with Scott Reeves being over there and Steve Burton being over there, I just think it would be really cool if Neil went there for a couple of days, hung out with Sonny, helped Sonny, and, you know, all that because I miss you and Scott Reeves' bromance. And I will not be scared to say that. I love your bromance because it was fresh. It was funny. And, I mean, what? Do you guys keep in touch?
The on-screen bromance was definitely an off-screen bromance as well. And Scott is one of the few people on the show that I actually spent a good deal of time with, you know, away from the set. Scott and his family, they're beautiful people, man. It's hard not to love them, to like them. They are, you know, I don't know how to put it, but, you know, remember the Cabbage Patch craze or anything soft, cute, and cuddly, man. Think of the cutest little dog in the world. I mean, this is terrible to say, but think of anything cute, and that's the Reeves family. You know, I mean, Missy and Scotty and Emily and man, they're just so beautiful. And so I miss it, too. And as much as I'd like to go over to General Hospital and mix it up with Sonny and Jason, Steve Burton and Maurice, Mo, I can't. That's an ABC show. And
well,
I'd love to go back
I'm,
and see Scotty. But that would be interesting, wouldn't it? But although, wait
I
a minute,
mean,
Carly. Well, Carly, wait, let me say this. The way it's going, they're all going to be over on The Young and the Restless anyway. Everybody's going to be on our show. Because we're going to be supposedly the last soap on air. Well, that's not true. Bold and the Beautiful will be, you know, along with Young and the Restless. But we're going to be working with them anyway. Can you see it all now?
Neil? You cannot forget Days of Our Life and their crazy love. I mean, well, I feel like you guys have been so amazing. But, you know, I was afraid to ask you this, but I'm going to. Okay, we all know the new writers are coming in. That is not a secret. How are the actors on set feeling about a new day, new regime, you know?
Okay, yeah, this is this is the part of the interview where Christoph has to really mind his P's and Q's, right? This is where, you know, setting on.
I could delete this episode. No one will ever remember you ever said whatever you want.
Yeah, no, you're right, and I will always continue to say that. And nothing is off topic, and nothing is taboo, except a lot of things are taboo. No, this the changeover of power. Okay, let me first say that Maria Arena Bell tried her damnedest to put this show back to what Bill Bell Senior originally did and had the show in a. You know, Bill Bell Sr., the master storyteller, no one can replace him. No one can really compare. You know, there's a few people that helped Bill start his entire mission on daytime television. Jack Smith, Kay Alden. I mean, you know, Bill was a titan. He was a giant, and it brings tears to my eyes thinking about how wonderful a man he was, how creative and inspired he was, to put both Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful on air. You know, once Bill passed away and Sony, you know, Sony owns the show. They have, you know, they're in control. And, you know, we've had a multitude of head writers along the way. Maria Arena Bell did, you know, with her 5 years, had a nice run. She gained, you know, in certain demographics we increased, and I think especially in the younger demographic. But really, without going into detail about that, the new regime, I have yet to really make any kind of critique. I don't even want to call it that. You know, they haven't really started yet. And it's Jill Fehrenfels and Josh Griffith, and both very talented people. Josh was on the show before as a head writer, and he's been given the reins again. And we will see what develops in the next month or two of story. I think, though, we're going to see, you know, Maria Arena Bell's stories in the next couple of months, and then the newer stories, the storyline directions, et cetera, will be, you know, very carefully dealt with. You know, I'm sure the fans have a lot to say about storylines that are presently on air, that have been on air, the pairings, certain pairings that the fans might have disliked, and certain pairings that they love. You know, sometimes I read the boards like everyone else, you know, and I see certain pairings that are going swimmingly. Carmine and Abby, everyone seems to dig. A lot of people seem to dig. You know, Carmine, I mean, I've heard, you know, girls, fans say Carmine is the new Shamar, and that might be the case. You know, they're very vocal, and that's the wonderful thing about soap fans. They're extremely vocal about what is going on their favorite show. So, you know, politically sidestepping around certain things with this question, all I can say is I'm a big fan of watching and waiting and seeing what is in store, especially being selfish. I need to see what's going to happen with the Winters Clan. The Winters Clan, which, you know, has been part of the fabric of the show for many, many years, you know, we haven't really had a true storyline in a long time. I have been servicing certain storylines with my daughter, with my son, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see now how they bring and weave this story back together. I can tell you that I would love, to be the first black Victor Newman on the show. I'd love to be the first black billionaire who you know, creates his own company and just skyrockets and should be undoubtedly on the same level, standing toe-to-toe with Jack Abbott and Victor Newman. This is not something that has been done. You know, Neil has been subservient to a fault, and it needs some kind of growth, because how long can you stay in a certain position in your life? You know, so anyway, I digress. You asked me about the new regime, and I told you.
I love you when you digress, but what you were saying is all true. I mean, I thought about this because you and Vic don't have the love relationship anymore, obviously. You know, and Michael Bogdan doesn't really have the love relationship to stick to. So I think both of you, because Michael needs to get out of that DA job. He's turning on all his friends. You know, he might turn on Neil next. This, I mean, he's going after Phyllis. He's going after Paul. You know, I want my Neil safe. So I think if you and Michael would take down, you know, Zippel or, you know, Newman, and, you know, and have Catherine give you power attorney for that, you could be riding the reins. Well, I think people need to respect you a lot and just give you it instead of making them their sidekick in a way.
Oh, interesting. That could be a good storyline. Are you applying for a new position as a writer on the show? Because if you are, then that might be good.
I would love to, because there are, like you said, there are so many things that the fans I hear on a daily basis that they are not happy about, and they are not happy with it. Sad, you know, because, you know, with four soaps only left, when, you know, you go from 12 to four in a 20-year period, that's bad. But, I mean, for Ryan to stay on top, you know, but you're right, the winters need to be given a storyline, but you need to be given a storyline of your very own. I love you helping your kids, but come on, Neil needs to do something fun and crazy.
Well, yeah, and as I said before, not to keep beating this to death, like, you know, but if he was given his own company, which is, it's high time for it, and it doesn't have to be what a lot of people would think would be an African-American-based company, although I have had my own thoughts about, you know, African-American male or men's products, et cetera. But, you know, it can be diverse in nature. And because Neil knows all Newman's trade secrets, you know, he could take the great one down, Mr. Mustache down. But it would have to be justified. Neil is not like that. He's not, you know, he's not vindictive enough to take Victor and try to, you know, liquidate Newman Enterprises. It would have to be something very, very negative that Victor does in order to attract Neil to take him down. But nevertheless, you know, that's one idea. The show has so many different characters and so many stories to tell. So many pairings can be done. But what I think we're all talking about here at the end of the day, we're talking about getting back to basics. We're talking about getting back to the core of this show, the Bill Bellion Sr., you know, way of life. Hot topics, things that are going on right now. What is going on right now? We're dealing with mass hysteria in the media. That's right. We're we're dealing with, you know, people like, God, you know, should I even mention his name? Jerry Sandusky and his
mm-hmm.
madness. We're dealing with the war-torn areas of the globe, still Afghanistan, et cetera. We're dealing with the Middle East. We're dealing right here at home with mass murders and people losing loved ones. You know, we're dealing with so many interesting, topical things that we could profile and should profile at some point. You know, it's not an easy challenge to take over a show like Josh Griffith and Jill Farren Phelps have to do right now. You know, to look outside the box and really pull in the positivity and the negativity. Don't forget, it is a drama, and we have to be dramatic. You know, we can't all be happy and falling in love. Although I know what women want to see, what ladies want to see, you know, their favorite guy characters doing what they're doing, taking off their shirts a little bit here and there, you know, the basketball court, which I love. You know, we don't always have to be on the basketball court, but that's right. We need to get in and do stuff like that. We need
to
show.
You know, yeah, and that's one of my last questions before I take fan calls, because you and Zasha Ramon and Nick, who this tonight on Twitter agreed to be on the show sometime in the near future. With, you know, you and Nick are the two guys I love the most, so that kind of made my night. But you and Nick have this really good friendship, and you guys need to play basketball a lot more, because you guys go through stuff with the ladies, and Neil needs another bromance. And I think Nick and Neil will have a cute little bromance, because, everyone else is either too young 0202 really have a bromance with you. And Tucker is way out. No, Tucker's done, you know, things to you. Not that you and Tucker, I mean, you and Tucker have a good relationship, and I love it that you're working with Stephen Nicholas. You know, I find it, you know, it's a really good storyline. So let me to the calls before people kill me. And
let me just comment on one thing that you just said. So Nick and Neil having a bromance. I'm not sure if you said they should have a cute little baby together or not, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I
know. As far as Stephen Nichols goes, class act, wonderful guy, and you know, I don't think they ever really explored what they truly could have with the two fathers, Neil being and Tucker being a biological father. They could have gone much deeper into that, because there's a lot of feelings hard at work. Devon being adopted, and Neil having been, you know, the father for so long, and then having to lose out, so to speak, to the biological father, played by Stephen. So, you know, again, we're in a new time. The one thing I can say, though, that Maria Irina Bell, she really listened about certain things that, you know, were topical. The character of Devon being deaf, Brighton brought this storyline to Maria, which was about the cochlear implant and the surgery that is available now, this new modern technology that allows the cochlear implant to be removed, and you can still hear. His character can still hear. That was fascinating to me, that they brought that to the surface and played it out as a storyline. So hats off, you know, to Maria for listening and putting that particular storyline on the show. Anyway, go ahead. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, but before I do, but yeah, I was obsessed with that storyline, and they handled it great, you know. I mean, and what I thought was really good that both you and Tucker were there when, you know, Devon could hear again. I mean, I kind of felt bad for Catherine to miss it, but, I mean, I just thought, you know, here this is the adoptive father and the biological father in the same room, not throwing punches. I thought, you know, because, I mean, I think there's a lot of anger that, like you said, needs to be talked about with you and Tucker. But, okay, I will take fan calls. Okay. My little Candace, 443, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey, Crystal.
Hi, how you doing? Who's that?
Candace,
all right. What's happening tonight? How you feel?
I feel good. So glad that you're on the show with my friend Carly. Been a huge fan of Young and the Restless since I can remember. Been a huge fan of the Winters family since the beginning. But I had a question outside of Young and the Restless.
Sure, of course.
I've been a fan of yours since you were on Generations.
Okay, that's a while back, yeah.
That was a while back. So there's a rumor, I'm not sure if you heard about this, that TV One, the cable channel, is trying to bring it back. How do you feel, if this rumor is true, how would you feel about that coming back, you know, since it did have a meaning to I guess, my generation, to our society, to see, like, an all-African-American soap opera?
Okay, Candace, good question, and thank you for asking it. Generations was a joy and a treat to work on, but let me at least correct one thing that was just said. Not that you're wrong, but it was not an all African-American cast. It happened to concentrate on one African-American family, and the truth is there were more Black folk on that show than any other show at the time, so people looked at it and went, oh, this must be an all-Black show. But it wasn't. It was very well integrated, and I've got to thank Sally Sussman. Marina is her last name. She married Tony Marina. But Sally Sussman was the executive producer and creator of that show. She had the foresight and the wisdom to tap into a market that wasn't really being tapped into that much at the time. Okay? She was at one time head writer of The Young and the Restless. And in developing this show and bringing it to television, she showed that African Americans can carry very serious storylines and topical stuff on air. It was disappointing to me that the show was let go after 2 years because we had a lot of story left to tell. So, you know, and again, it being very controversial in some areas with an excellent cast, Janelle Allen, Rick Fitz, Torian Black, Joan Pringle, Kelly Rutherford, Tony Adob, I can't go through the whole list, but I almost did. You know, it to me, bringing it back, I mean, I would like to see it, but it ends. The story ends, and we know how it ends, and there will be no future episode done. So as soap opera is supposed to have a wonderful story arc, a beginning, middle, and no end. And that one has an end. So I'm not sure if I would be the happiest dude to see it back on air, knowing that it's got to end in 2 years. You know, maybe if it was revived again, you know, and we did Generations 20 million years later, you know? What do you think?
I mean, I think the way that I'm seeing it is that you could do like Dallas. Like, Dallas went off the air 20 years ago and came back, and it's like so strong because it has the original format and also a new generation to go for, you know, new people to pick up and say, oh, what is this show about? Okay, let's turn it in, while fans of the original is like, oh, okay, so this is how it's going to, you know, continue. And I actually agree about soap operas, like, in the format is that with Generations, it did have a beginning, it had a middle, and then all of a sudden, it was like, it was over.
Yeah.
I remember the final episode because I stayed home from school. My mama let me stay so I can watch it. And I was like, wait, it happened next week. And that's when she said, it's not going to come back on next week. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I never
right.
believed a soap opera had, you know, could end, you know,
right.
without really
right.
turn it all up. So, but it
right.
would be interesting to see how they would pick Generations back up, you know, like if it's going to be the next generation of the families, you know, like the kids or something. So
I think I would rather see that than, I mean, if they wanted to air the 2 years worth and then do a follow up, you know, series with just what
right.
you said, the next generations. But you know, it's kind of in a time capsule now. And I'm, you know, my best guess tells me it's going to stay there. If TV1 does resurrect it, then all I can say is, show me the money. Where's my residual?
Okay. This is all I wanted to know, because I'm going to ask this question, and I actually had another one, but I figured that the one I just asked was a good one.
Well, wait, what's the other question? Let's talk about it. Let's flesh it out. Hurry up. What's going on?
Well, basically, what it was is that me just did it other night on TV with you and Trish Cat, the TV show of it. And I was like, okay. For some reason, I was just thinking, what if, you know, brought it back? Would you make an appearance as, like, a kid's fault? So I was just wondering how you would feel about that as well, you know, and if you can share any memories about Family Affairs.
You're very kind, and you really do go a long way back in history.
Yeah.
That was 1912. I didn't even I don't even remember what was happening in 1912. I'm pretty sure we had electricity and running water was in our village, but not baseball had just been invented. Now, let me get off that comedy spiel. You know what? Valiant Bears was just such a treat and joy to work on. I was a kid. I think I was 12 years old when I started Bears. And I got to play a lot of baseball and hang out with, you know, my friends, Corey Feldman, Mino Palouse. Soleil Moon Fry, you know, his little sister, Rad Bailey, Shane Butter. I mean, we just had a ball. And we were on set at Paramount. And we used to go and just sabotage these dressing rooms that used to belong to the Brady Bunch kids, because that's what the stage we were shooting on. And I remember vividly looking at all of the fan mail pictures, photos, these little, like, driver's license-size photos that the Brady Bunch kids, Mike Lookinland, Barry Williams, et cetera, Eve Plum, had put up all over their dressing rooms. You know, and these were circa 1970, you know, 1, 2, 3, whenever the show was, photographs. So, you know, I digress talking about some real small detail stuff, but we had the time of our lives. And, you know, if I could go back to one era, it might be that one in the 80s when it seemed like life was a little more simplistic. You know, Reagan was in office. You know, we were a little more innocent then. People talk about the 50s and the innocence, but if you looked at what's happened in the 90s and now in the last, you know, 20 years, we're not so innocent anymore. Truly.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, we have to grow. But I appreciate the question about the Bad News Bears and seeing Trish come back after having, you know, a little bit of a sabbatical onto the canvas
right.
is just such a treat because she's so talented. She's so raw that, you know, she needs to be given something that's meaty that she can sink her teeth into and have a great time
yeah.
with. You know, she deserves any award that comes her way. And I'm sorry that she even left the show to begin with. I know she had some things that she wanted to take care of, but seeing Amanda back in the studio, aka Nina, you know, hey, a little bit of trivia. Do you remember my name on the Bad News Bears?
Oh sure. Okay, wait a minute. All right. Oh crap.
You'll never get it. That's okay. That's why I asked. Here you go. I need a drum roll, and here it is. KSJ played blank on the Bad News Bears. Ahmad Abdul Rahim. That was my name.
Oh, my. Oh, you down my load? Oh, you down my little media, the person, oh, guy named Mofo.
Yes, I'm gonna watch SportsCenter now because I gotta find out about Dwight Howard.
Oh
what?
Yeah, Dwight Howard, the newest Laker. I twizzled about that on my Twitter account, and Superman, aka Dwight Howard. We got KB24, aka the Black Mamba. We got Lil Steve Nash, aka
mm-hmm.
the Magician, and we got Pow Wow Gasol. And, you know, I think this is going to be one of the best seasons we've ever had. The Lakers, unfortunately, I don't believe can ever repeat the magic of the 80s Lakers when Magic Johnson, you know, was on.
Yeah.
But they came
yep.
damn close when, you know, people like Rick Fox, you know, were on the squad most recently. This one is going to be just such a treat, this particular season to watch. You know, because Nash is, man, I feel like I'm on SportsCenter right now. Are we doing a show about soaps or sports?
We get I love basketball. I will say, Candace, sorry to take away your thunder, but it's my soul. The Lakers, I agree with you. You know, they are never going to see what Magic did back then, but their biggest mistake of last year was game of Odom. I really liked him. I thought they should have brought him back.
Well, poor Lamar, man. That's my dude. I mean, he was smoking weed and got kicked off the Clippers for a minute, and he came back. But this time, it was worse than smoking weed. He got taken by one of the Kardashians. And that's what happened. Listen, I like the Kardashians like everybody. But it's just, you know, TV saturated with certain things that we don't, you know, always have to see him. And Lamar, I mean, God bless him, but had he been more on his game and totally focused, that might not have happened. I mean, he left our city for Dallas, and then he got cut. I believe he was cut down to the D League. You know, they
mm-hmm.
came on anyway. That's a whole other story.
Okay,
Candace.
Okay, Candace, I'm going to put you back on mute. I want to ask Christoph another question before I bring on another fan question. Are you done with all your questions, my little media, little person?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks,
Candace. Want to make sure.
You can have a good night.
Appreciate it. You stay strong.
And, you know, with everything going on in our crazy little world, were you a fan of Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston? Oh, you know, because, I mean, you growing up in that era, and everything. And, you know, since you live in L.A., how do you feel with, like, all these celebrities, you know, that are passing away too young and that, you know, become firestars and then they, you know, become older actors and they just fade out and then do bad drugs or whatever. How are you feeling about that?
How am I feeling about that particular
you know,
topic
this,
of young
yeah,
Hollywood?
Well, I mean, yeah.
No, I understand. I understand what you mean. Michael Jackson, I was one of his biggest fans as a child growing up. I saw him once on the 101 freeway headed in a northerly direction in a limousine. My father was driving an old Lincoln Continental, suicide doors, and we pulled up next to the limo. And Michael Jackson, I didn't know it was him inside until the window went down, but I was looking at this limo thinking, this is the longest car I've ever seen, Dad. I must have been 8, you know, and the window comes down because I'm looking, and I had a big afro my whole life. Well, I still got a big afro, so I don't know what's different. But I look over, and I see the window come down, and there he is, the king of pop. He waves to me. And I waved back, and I can't believe I'm saying, Dad, is that Michael Jackson? Is that Michael Jackson? And he goes, yeah, son, it is. I can't believe it. We almost got into a wreck, man. If I could have, I would have done some kind of Hollywood stunt and jumped over into the limo from the Lincoln. But, you know, he waved, I waved, and that was my brush with Michael Jackson. I went to Neverland Ranch, but he wasn't there many years ago. And I can tell you that at the age of 13 or 14, I bought, I was younger. I bought his Off the Wall album. I don't know if everybody remembers, but back in the day, you could send in a penny for Columbia RCA records and tapes, and you would get this thing in the mail, and then you would put the penny, you would tape it on where it said to tape the penny, and you would check off what you wanted from the list. And, you know, there were albums then. And I bought Off the Wall as, you know, with about 8 other albums for a penny. Of course, I didn't know that I would be charged about $1 million. You know, the penny was just the start of them trying to come and harass and take our home, you know. But the Off the Wall album was my favorite album. I played that thing. I used to dance in the mirror like Michael and try to be him. And I thought I was him because I had the afro. And it's just so sad that his life came to an end in the way that it did, when it did, because Michael had many years ahead to entertain. But if you look at, you know, being somewhat of a fatalist in life, all things for a reason, you know, I guess his death was necessary for what? I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. You know, all I know is that I miss him like everybody else does. And I will continue to miss him, but I will continue to support and be loyal just by simply listening to his music. And I follow his, you know, his beautiful family in social media and out there in the real world. You know, I'm very closely observing Paris Jackson on Twizzle, Twitter, and the Jackson brothers I follow. And it's a real treat, at least, that we have members of the family left to live, you know, and uphold the Jackson name. So,
yeah, even though what happened a couple of weeks ago with the mom missing and all that, it's like, you know, pretty much I'm like, you know, that is a queen and queen of England, or the fifth family, forget the Kennedys, the Jacksons and the Kennedys. I don't know. I'm guessing. But I am going to bring on another call. I'm bringing on Kiri. Hey, Kiri.
Hey, Carly. Hey, Crystal. How you doing?
Carrie, I'm doing good. How are you doing this evening?
I did send a penny, but I didn't get albums. So I got cassette tapes at the time. Yes, I got the big bill, too.
Yeah, right? Okay, so you do remember. Do you still have the tapes, or have they been lost in the wind?
No, they're going. We've graduated to CDs now. But another thing that caught my interest when I was on hold when you were talking about the sports, and I find soap fans and sports fans are kind of similar, even though you wouldn't think so. The passion and knowledge of what they follow, I find it to be very similar, actually, because it takes a lot of dedication to follow a soap or a sport.
Yeah, I completely concur with that. You've got a medium that is is pretty old. We're going back to the days of radio when it really first began. I'm not sure if my knowledge is correct, if there was any kind of soap history before radio, but that's when I remember it starting. Not that I was around back then, thank you very much, but in researching the history of it, people would gather around the radio and listen diligently to, you know, a 15-minute serial. And sound effects were, you know, the stars of the show and voices. And that transferred to television, black and white, obviously. And now look at what we have, you know. And it's sad to see, because we haven't addressed this, but not getting long-winded, but it's sad to see that we're in a medium that could be potentially departing in the next, you know, I don't know, 3 to 5 to 10 years, you know. And so many shows have gone belly up in the last few years. It's frightening, you know. It really is. So we gotta band together and, you know, enjoy it while it's here. And maybe we can have a resurgence of daytime soaps. Maybe somehow we will witness, you know, a rebirth of new shows. And you see it a little bit with Dallas coming back, you know, but maybe a new daytime serial will be thought up and put on air, and it will hit, and it will be back again. You see how it's all cyclical, man. Game shows, talk shows, maybe soap operas will have the same kind of routine.
Well, and that's a good point. But and as long as we keep the focus on it and don't let it go into the shadows, it can never be. And by you being gracious enough to come on these shows and your co-stars and the like helps keep it in the forefront. And we, the fans, will never stop, even though the Dining Lights and the other ones have, you know, gone. But who's to say they don't come back? And we need to keep Paramount. We need to keep the ones that are on and going as long as humanly possible. Because, like the thing, it's with sports and soaps, it's got passed on from our parents to our grandparents, and it's a generational and traditional thing. At least that's the way I look at it.
Well, of course, you're right. It is a generational thing. I mean, especially if you look back, you know, to the 60s, 70s, the thing that started changing daytime serial watching, I believe, was the remote control for televisions. You have, you know, families or a mother or a grandmother, let's say, who's hooked on one network. Let's say it's CBS, because I work on that network, and she will watch that network shows faithfully. And who wants to get up off the couch or run from the kitchen while they're doing, you know, something in there or doing the laundry and change the channel if you don't have a remote? So we kind of got stuck, you know, with that kind of theme. Then the remote control comes and gives us a little bit of more of an option. We can, 20 feet away, we're working the TV. And then what happens, man? O.J. Simpson. Yeah, I said it. O.J. Simpson, 1994. And around the same time, we had satellites that were popping up left and right, so we have 5,000 channels to choose from. We got a channel for everything now. We got a channel for just shoes. Hey, man, who's got the latest, greatest pairs of Jordans? Well, I don't know. Let me check out the shoe channel. You know, and O.J. didn't help with his trial. The fans turned away in droves. We lost a huge percentage of the audience that never returned. And so now it's a struggle and a fight to keep the attention, you know. So that's a little bit of the, I guess, the what's going on with why we're watching the dissolve of daytime soaps, a little bit anyway.
And like you said, if they brought back some of the topical issues, for example, I know on B&B they just did a text messaging car accident thing, which is very topical to the young kids today because they're going to be texting every time they turn around and how dangerous that is. So like you said, if they can strike a balance between drama and real life, I think that's what people really want to see.
Of course they do, and thank God Bradley Bell, man, he's really following in his father's footsteps. Man, I applaud Bradley Bell like nobody's business, and I'm not kissing ass to the Bell family when I say this, that Bradley, you know, I mean, he's got that mind. He's got Bill Bell Sr.'s writing flavor style, you know, and we're witnessing, you know, a son who is carrying the torch for his father. So that I admire, and if there were any other show on daytime television that I'd love to be a part of, you know, it would be that one. Yeah, Bradley, if you're out there somewhere, man, if I get cut from General City and being Neil trying to take down the mighty corporate Victor Newman, I'm ready to come to L.A., put on some duds, and be the model man that I could be.
Hey, if they can have crazy Sheila Carter crossover, why can't Neil Winters?
Exactly.
You know, I'll go, because I know people, you know, I'm sure you have other calls, but I just want to say I've appreciated your 20 years on the show, and I think you have great chemistry, man and woman, that you've worked with over the years, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for saying that. Appreciate your love and all that, and you have a wonderful life.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, Carrie, I'm going to put you back on mute. Okay, so I know you said that you will stay in L, so it's like an hour and 4 minutes. But, you know, I mean, I agree with what Carrie said. You know, I'm surprised there hasn't been more crossovers. I mean, there's been a couple from B&B to Y&R. But you're right. You know, you should go over to B&B and, you know, and, I mean, I think we need to figure out who your birth parents are, too. I think that needs to be discovered.
Well, thank you. And that's kind of you to say. We'll see what happens. I mean, they're doing just fine without me, B&B. Texas Battle is holding it down and doing an excellent job. You got Aaron Spears, who's also over there, you know, not just to name the African-American actors. It's got a wonderful cast of characters.
Oh,
I
love Aaron. He was just on here in May, and he's great, too. And, you know, I was trying to get Aaron on your show, too, because, you know, I thought Neil and him would, you know, have a nicer talk because, you know, with B&B and Y&R, right, well, are you guys next door from each other, or are you guys across the hall?
Carly, we are absolutely across the hall from each other. I mean, we are kissing cousins to the nth degree. I can walk over and see and check out what's going on over at the B&B set, and they come over to our set. But, yeah, it's very nice to have that. And it's humbling watching, you know, other shows in production and what they do to keep on budget, on time, on schedule. It really is. And then you come over to our show and watch the same thing. Sometimes I forget that a lot of people are doing the same thing. We're all striving for excellence in what we do, no matter what medium or field that we're in. At least I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I just find it crazy that you guys are right across the hall, too, from Price is Right. And, you know, I've seen a couple of Y&R people go on there, and I'm like, they should do a Neil giveaway. That's what they should do. A Neil giveaway on the Price is Right. Oh, you know, maybe you should just take over from Drew Carey. Because, you know, you have TV host experience, and, okay, I'm going to have to do Carey people mad at me, but that's okay. But, you know, I think everyone is going to get excited to see where the summer's going to go with Y&R. And how long are you guys taping out? Are you guys, like, taping way in advance, or are you guys, you know, 2 to 3 weeks out? Can you even say?
Sure, Carly. We're 5 years ahead. So what you're seeing was done 5 years ago. No, I'm really kidding. We're 5 weeks. We're 5 weeks ahead. Traditionally we're four weeks. You know, 5 weeks, and then sometimes we get 6 weeks ahead. We take a couple of weeks off at Christmas. This year has been a little interesting, where we're taking a few more weeks off than we normally do. But it seems to me, not seems, it does, it runs like a well-oiled machine most of the time. And that's because we have a team of professionals that are working in front of the camera, behind the camera, around the camera, and inside the camera. I'm only too proud to be a part of the whole franchise, you know. And, again, Carly, I want to thank you for having me on the show and being a part of your world.
Oh, no problem. Come back anytime, and, like, if you need to promote an upcoming movie or something, because, you know, you just check out Hallmark or Lifetime and just do yourself a little movie, then, you know, yeah, you should do a movie next. See,
well,
I'm happy.
Thank you. maybe that's in the cards. I don't know. But I can tell you that just very quickly as a wrap-up, you know, my life outside of Y&R is very full with a lot of different things. I do get out, you know, once in a while to work on shows. You know, last year I had the pleasure of working on something called Family Time, which is a new comedy on the Bounce network. Not many people get that network. I know I don't. No. I have DirecTV, but my buddy, my boy, Bentley Kyle Evans, is the showrunner, executive producer. And funnily enough, the show stars Angel Conwell, who played Leslie, the lawyer on Young and the Restless, also stars Omar Gooding, Cuba's brother, and yours truly plays a next-door neighbor who is the bougie brother on the block and comes over and just doesn't have a clue. So that's something that I wanted to plug and sort of put out there, that very, very funny show. Still waiting to see if the Wayans brothers, who cast me as a lead father in a sitcom starring Kim Wayans. She plays my wife. We have six kids, and it's all about the Wayans, actual real-life story of the Wayans brothers' family growing up. So, you know, there's some stuff happening outside the show, but, you know, it's been YNR's been the meat and potatoes for me and continues to be that, and I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, yes, would I want to survive on a primetime show? For sure and for certain. But right now, I'm not hurting because YNR is the key, you know, and we'll see what is uncovered, discovered, and recovered in this next, you know, 3 to 6 months of the dynasty. Truly, you know, fans need to write in. If they're unhappy, they need to let their voices be heard with social media like Twizzle or Twitter and Facebook. You know, it's much easier now for the show's hierarchy to review what is really being said. So if you're unhappy about stuff, let them know. If you're happy with current storylines or you're happy with what's going to be happening, let them know. They like to hear the positive feedback as well.
Exactly. Okay, well, have a great weekend and stay warm in LA, because I know in Seattle we are in for a nicer heat wave too, so.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Yeah. I got to tell you. Thank you for asking me to do the show. If you need a little thumbs up, so, you know, somebody else on the show, be it Christian or Michelle or whoever it is, then you only need to ask me, and I'll try to go to work and be your sponsor for it, okay?
Since you did ask, can you just work on Joshua and Tracy Bergman?
Okay, Joshua and Tracy Tracy Bergman, of course. Bregman, yes. Tracy Bregman. I certainly will ask them, and
we'll
see what happens. Okay. Thank you, Carly. I take care and have a wonderful evening. Okay.
You too. Night.
Okay, dear. All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Bye. Okay, you guys, I have been wanting to do this for 4 years, so when I find it, I'm just going to do something really evil for like 1 second, and this has been one of the most incredible nights of my entire life. I don't think I'm going to forget it for a very long time, having Christopher St. John come on. He was great. You know, life cannot get any better. And then Stone Cold said the words I've been wanting to hear for 4 long years. Divorce. I'm bringing in my peeps. Right now. Hey, Kathy.
Carly, what an interview you did. You were excellent. That was a great interview. I just want to tell you, that was excellent. You did a great job. I enjoyed that so much. Got to tell you that.
Yeah, especially when he's like, oh, did you need any people that, you know, I mean, I'm not dumb. I was going to take him up on it. I'm sorry. This, I had to.
You were so good. You did a fabulous job. You were really, really good. You, unbelievable. That's what I want to say.
Thank you. Oh my God, you held on for this long, and are you still going on the train in the morning or what?
I'm going on the train, but I listened to the show. I stayed up. I'm going to stay till the end of your show, but I can't go on Christie's.
Oh, well, that's okay. Carrie, Candace, Silo, better call in. Silo, if you don't call in. Silo. Okay, it's a celebration tonight. You know, 4 years. 4 years. I started the show, my show, because I was pissed off. They did something wrong 4 years ago, and I believe today with the start of doing something right, I have been so happy for, like, you know, forever. Hi, Silo.
Hi, everyone. Great. That man is phenomenal. I mean, he's not only sexy, but he is one class.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He is.
Yep.
And
great question, you know. Carly, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, you guys. Maybe I send this to him on right on the spot about, you know, Tracy and Zoss, but, you know, it's not been a secret for anyone on the show that I've been wanting Nick on my show since the beginning of time. And tonight, Zoss and Monroe treated me back, you guys, saying, yeah, I will come on your show someday, I promise. Okay,
awesome.
So you know what? I'm sorry. Yeah, I might be going for all the men right now, but, you know.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Works for me.
I figured you guys wouldn't mind it. I just want to say, and you guys know I never watched the Friday episode. I had to. Okay, I did a little fast-forwarding, okay? I'm going to be honest with that. But I rewound.
I rewound, too.
Yeah, when they said, like, I think it's time for a divorce. And I'm like, you think? You. And, you know, I think my whole apartment complex heard me scream and yell and say, yippee. You know, and for everyone out there freaking out Monday, oh, you know what, I feel like this is going to be their goodbye kiss, you know, and then they can go separately on their separate ways.
I don't think they're going to kiss.
Yeah, they show it in the preview.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I don't. But that could be an old
clip. Exactly. Yeah, I thought about that too. But
there is no way that you know what? If they go there, that's not going to make me happy.
It's not a big deal, though.
And no, in the grand
scheme. Well, I know, but you know, Monday I want them signing the divorce paper.
Well, that's not going to happen on Monday.
No, not Monday.
No, but you know what, you guys?
I can hope.
You can't help, but you know what? Four years ago, we were down and out. 4 years ago, you know, Carly wanted to throw her through at the TV and break it. Today, they rectified it. Today, at 2:58 Pacific time, they rectify a wrong. And I will not, you know what? I will be honest.
Until Jason Jr. comes back and they get back together.
Sam said.
Okay, Carrie.
If the baby was alive, she would forgive Jason.
Oh my God.
Who cares? You know what?
I care. I do not want that to happen. Period.
You know what?
Ever.
Okay, I don't think it will ever happen, and I think if that were to even go there, something would trump it. And, you know, I mean, I don't think we have a lot to worry about. Right now,
way.
I think all
put
of
it,
us.
Put it this way, instead of worrying about the kiss on Monday, let's just appreciate and be glad that they're actually, because let's face it, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we wouldn't have even got him saying the divorce
right.
one. So let's all
right.
enjoy it.
We wouldn't
it
have seen Liz still.
Exactly.
We
so, you know what? Yeah, so that's, you know, let this be thankful, and let this, you know, be thankful that Larry Jackson back, you know, as much as everyone wants to hate the son of a bitch, I feel like.
This is going to be a phenomenal rollout with this.
I know.
I'm waiting for Jax to come back.
You know,
yeah,
I
he's coming. He's
well,
coming.
I know.
I don't know
so,
when all
know,
of a sudden
I
Ingo
just
became sexy to me, but Ingo's sexy to me now. I have no idea. It's for those things, yeah.
Okay. He sure makes Carly more appealing.
Okay, Carly was already more appealing without even the name Woodzox. So, yeah. Carly doesn't need any. Oh, 559, you on the air?
Hi.
Alva.
Hey.
Hey,
Alva.
Hey. I listened to the show, Carly. It was a nice show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just, you know, it was fun. I had a very fun interview. So, no, I think all of us should just be grateful for today. And I think we should just sit back, find the biggest thing of popcorn.
I watched her little sorry performance today. It was sorry. It was just the same old facial expression, nothing ever different.
Oh, wait,
Alva,
did
you,
dumb.
Alva, did you help me on the computer? Does one of you because of this?
Okay,
I
you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, it's off.
Okay. No, I mean, I just think we all should be in a very good mood because I believe this is the start of something good.
Yeah, I'm glad. They should have ended a long time ago. I'm so sick of them, but yeah, her
you
little
know
sorry
what?
Little act.
I was just sitting there going, Sam, you are such a freak.
So, when she started saying it, I was like, oh my God.
Say it, Jason.
Really?
Say it.
I can't say it, Jason.
This woman can't do nothing. She can't do nothing.
Yeah, I was like, you know, what a big hypocrite. You know,
yep.
Jason forgave her for the things that she has done, but she can't forgive Jason?
He really hasn't
done anything. The
that
only
needs
thing
to be forgiven.
He did was ask for time.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
that,
for
I mean,
her
I
to
think
dump him because of the baby, I mean, really?
Well, not only
he
that, and even more than that, oh, it would be different if the baby was alive. Since when is kids meant to
right.
be glued to hold a relationship together? That's insulting.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but that's exactly what she told him. If the baby was alive and she could see him with the baby and he was holding the baby, then she could forgive him. But since the baby is dead, she can't forgive him.
Oh, you guys, Liaison Radio is on the line.
Hello?
Okay.
She's
online. Oh,
hello?
I thought you said she was coming on.
Am I here?
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
I'm here. Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hey.
How was the interview? Did it go well?
Very well.
Yeah. It went incredible. And guess what happened to me, right before that? Joshua Mo, Nick, said he would come on the show sometime soon. And Krista asked if, you know, is there anyone you want me to tell about the show, get them on here. And so I asked for Joshua and Tracy. And so I'm having an unbelievable night. Did I miss you? Of course. But you are forgiven.
I was at least kind. Thank you.
Yeah, but did you get my
knife? Are you having a show tonight?
Of course he is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The chat room is actually open right now. So if you want to go on over to talk to you, the chat room is open.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and you guys, I probably won't stay as long as I usually do because I have to get up at 9 in the morning. And Kathy knows, if anyone, and Carrie knows how late.
I'm probably that early, too, so.
Well, no, Carrie and Kathy. Carrie, guess what time I finally got to bed last night?
What time?
4 o'clock.
Callie.
Why? You
didn't
call me. You
could have
called me.
Yeah, okay, because if I woke you up before, I would feel bad. I knew they were almost sleeping on you. Kathy was asleep.
I was up. I've been up actually since, yeah, I went to work today. So I've only really gotten only 2 hours of sleep. And
Yeah.
Freak of nature. I should be getting ready for tomorrow, though.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm going to have my phone all stowed up.
I'm nervous now.
Candace, sweetheart, don't give us. You are a media expert. And
I'm meeting Ryan tomorrow morning for Brussels, and then I'm going to go to the event.
Will you tell Ryan
Ooh.
I love him? And when you tell Brian that I'm going to be, I will be, you know, your maid of honor if you need someone. Because I do give great bachelorette parties. I really do.
If you can get Channing Tatum to come to my bachelorette party,
oh
my God. I just want that. That's all I want. I just want Magic Mike. I want Matthew McConaughey. I want Matt Bowen. I want all of them. All of them.
I love it. I love it, Candace.
Not say I'm engaged. I want to put that out there because in case my family is listening, because sometimes they do. I'm not engaged. I'm just casually dating.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Candace. I'm sorry.
I got people call me 7 o'clock in the morning to check up on me now since I had my accident.
Okay, Candace, did you take my nice advice about that?
Yeah,
tell them.
About them calling me.
You called? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't saw my cell phone and... I didn't even know because, you know, it was something.
They can knock on my door. They can knock on my door. And I know I can't answer, but here's the thing. They got a key. I keep forgetting they got keys.
Oh. No.
Oh,
yeah, okay. You and I are in the same boat, okay? But my problem leaves tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Yay! Sorry, Kathy knows why I'm saying that.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, Kathy Raison, Candace has all been great. And Silo, you know, I talked to you on Facebook stuff, but, you know, you guys are incredible. Carrie, you are amazing, and we have a minute to go. And all I can say for us, get ready. Get ready, Raison is coming. Get ready for Days of Our Life back on Monday. The Olympics is over.
Aww.
Aww.
I kind of said it.
Awesome.
And you guys need to go get over to the other best blog talk show ever. Number one in Daytime After Dark. Number two is A's on Radio. So really, those are the only two you guys should ever be listening to. You know, because you know what? We are the fan voice. We are the fan voice.
I've never heard that before. I don't know. Maybe not. I just thought I heard
that. I don't really.
Okay, so is everyone head over? Is everyone head over to Lazon?
Not me, Callie.
I'm Kathy.
Oh, hey, Kathy.
I have to get up at 7
okay,
tomorrow
Kathy.
Morning.
Okay, Kathy. Okay, what about 20 minutes, please?
Yes, 20 minutes never goes 20 minutes. Come on
okay,
now.
Okay, Kay, shut up. Be quiet. I'm trying to convince Kathy, who knows if anything happens with feelings, she's going to end up living with me. So, I mean.
I am.
I'm going to shut up and call into my own show now.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
But we'll see what happens.
Okay, Kathy, you know, if you don't call into Lazon, my heart will be broken.
Bye-bye, you guys. Bye-bye. I'll
bye,
see you
bye.
At the other show.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
Callie.
Bye.